Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Isaiah. The Old Testament book of Isaiah in Isaiah and chapter number 56. The book of Isaiah and chapter number 56. This year, we've been putting an emphasis that everyone has a part to play within the local church. Sometimes people don't understand or feel like that's true. Well, God can't use me. I failed too bad. I'm unusable. There's all kinds of excuses and things that people have in their minds that say, well, God can't use me. Well, this happens to be the setting that we find in the book of Isaiah chapter 56, as we find a bunch of discouraged people who feel like for one reason or another, they can't be used. Well, let's see what the Lord has to say about this subject in the book of Isaiah chapter number 56. Isaiah 56, and notice with me in verse number 1. Isaiah 56 and verse number 1, the Bible says this, "Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keeping his hand from doing any evil. Neither let the son of the stranger that joineth himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths, and choose the things that please me, and take a hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than of the sons and daughters. And I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offering and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. And the Lord which gathereth the outcast of Israel saith, yet will I gather others to him beside those that are gathered unto him." And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of Isaiah? The book of Isaiah chapter 56, and notice with me in verse 7. Isaiah 56 and verse 7, notice the end of it, a house of prayer for all people. A house of prayer for all people. And with the Lord's help, we're going to explore what does this mean, and not only seeing the idea of a house of prayer, but notice a house of prayer for all people. Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, Lord, I'm asking that you would work, that you would heal the brokenhearted, that you would set the captives free. Lord, that you would do a wonderful work to draw us close to you. That anyone who feels like they failed, anyone that feels like they've disqualified themselves, anyone who feels like they've just too far gone, they would realize that you're a God who loves them still. and that you don't just love them, but you still like them and want to use them. I'm asking that you would do something amazing and something special through your word today. Lord, I need your help to set things in order, to make sure things are done properly, said correctly. And I can't trust myself. I trust your spirit to do your own work. Thank you, Lord. Do something in our hearts and lives to you today that we could walk out of here saying, what a great Savior, what a great God. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. In the book of Isaiah, chapter number 56, the context is that there is many people who are brokenhearted. Many people who feel downtrodden. Many people who feel like they failed God so much, or circumstances have gotten their way, that they feel like they can't get close to God, much less serve Him. And in this passage here, God is trying to help these folks to take them from where they are and to move forward. In the book of Isaiah, chapter number 56 and 57, we have a phrase that we see mentioned in the New Testament where Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ actually used this and said this twice, all both of them in the same context of clearing out the temple. Inside of the New Testament, two different times Jesus chased out the money changers. Two different times he chased out those people and said that you've made this place of den of robbers. Two different times the Lord Jesus Christ, when he chased them out, said that my house shall be called a house of prayer. Now, most people would say that and say, oh, he said the thing that was in the place, that we recognize the phrase. But let's look at beyond this and see that the context. What was it that Jesus was saying? And what was it that the Lord was talking about in the book of Isaiah chapter 56? In the book of Isaiah 56, God places an emphasis that my house shall be a house of prayer for all people. Now that word all is a great word. It means all. For all people. That God desires to be the God of all people. Amen. That God desires to be a help to all people. That God desires to help all people along to be closer to Him. And that God has a plan for all people. So if you don't mind, as we go through Isaiah chapter 56 here, I'd like to show you three different things in here that God has made available to all. Three things here in this passage that God has made available to all people. The first thing I'd like to show you is that God has made salvation available for all people. God has made salvation available for all people. Now again, the prophecy here is given for God's discouraged people. These are people that have slacked in obedience, that they have slacked in righteousness. And now because of their disobedience, because of their lack of righteousness, they feel like, well, God doesn't accept us anymore. That God doesn't like me. That God doesn't want me to be around. And what's happening is that because of this, the people are no longer serving God. That they say, well, I've wasted too much time. I've done this wrong. And I can't serve God. Why would God even want me to serve? God won't do anything else for me. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse number 1. Isaiah 56 and verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice. Why? For my salvation is near to come. And my righteousness to be revealed. Notice this. You keep judgment and do justice. Why? For my salvation is near to come. Now this is important that we get things correctly. Why is it that we serve the Lord? Do we serve the Lord in order to get salvation? The answer, of course, is no. How do we get salvation? Salvation is a free gift that Jesus Christ offers to every man. How do we get salvation? Well, we understand that first of all, we have a problem. What is the problem? I'm a sinner. That God desires to have fellowship with man. But sin has separated that fellowship. Sin has broken that fellowship. So that sin has to be taken care of. The Bible indicates that God wants to be close to us, but all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That in order to reach the standard of fellowshipping with God, in order to be with Him, we must be perfect. But all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. None of us are good enough. Every single one of us failed, without a doubt. Because of our failure, we deserve to be separated from God. Not just now, but for all eternity. Now's the time we want to be close with God. But if we don't get this relationship and fellowship repaired, then what's going to happen is that we deserve to go to an awful place called hell. Why does a person go to hell? A person goes to hell because he deserves to be separated from God. And when we die, there's only two places to go. A wonderful place called heaven or an awful place called hell. But God didn't want us to go there, so He came up with a solution that He robed Himself in flesh and came down upon this earth, and that God became the Lord Jesus Christ, who lived the same life that you and I lived. He went through the same temptations, the same troubles, the same heartbreaks. Then He died on the cross to pay for your sins and to pay for mine. What's more is He did it for free. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God has made it for free, that all we have to do is accept the salvation. So understand that when we accept, when we serve God, we're not serving God in order to get something from Him. We don't serve God in order to get salvation. Salvation is a free gift that He has given to us already. We have to put this in place. People will get so discouraged that they say, I failed so much, which is a true statement. And I messed up so horribly badly that I cannot get salvation of my own. So why try? Why even serve God? Well, you have things backwards. God knew that you could never do enough to get salvation. So Jesus paid the price for you. Then someone says, then why do I serve God? I don't serve God in order to get salvation. I serve God because of the salvation given to me. I serve God because of what He's already done for me. We have to make sure that we have this in order. I don't serve God in order to get something from Him. I serve God because of what is already done. Now, what will happen is that some people will say, well, I don't feel like God can ever do anything for me ever again, so why try to serve God? Once again, wrong motive. I don't serve God in order to get something from Him. Even if the Lord Jesus Christ didn't do anything for me ever again, salvation is enough. Because I deserve hell. If I serve God and He doesn't do anything else for me, I'm still ahead than what I deserve. So my service to God is not based off of how bad I failed, which is horribly, and so have you. My basis of salvation is based off of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me. My service is then based off of a thankful heart to Him. God wants to use me in spite of myself, not because of me. And God wants to use you in spite of all of your failures because He is a good God. God enjoys using broken things. He enjoys using things that have messed up because God can make them clean. He can make them right. Jesus Christ is wonderful. So again, you have a discouraged people who don't want to serve God. They feel like they can't serve God. I've messed up so badly, I can't serve God. Why even try? We start off by understanding salvation is available to all. Salvation is available to all. God has given everyone salvation, full, free, and forever. It doesn't matter who you are. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. It doesn't matter what all you've done. Jesus is willing to save you. We see that inside of the Bible. Did you know that murderers in the Bible got saved? You have a man by the name of Moses and a man by the name of David, a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus. All three of them were murderers, and God saved them and changed their life. Being a murderer wasn't enough to keep salvation away from them. Being an adulterer was not enough to keep salvation away. David committed adultery. God has made it so we can all be saved and forgiven of all of our sins. Do you know that God is able to save to the uttermost? You could take one of our Wisconsin's famous, infamous people. You could take a serial killer who ate people's flesh. And a person like that can still come to the place where he realized that he's a sinner. And because of his sin, he deserved to be separated from God and deserved to go to an awful place called hell. But he realized that Jesus died on the cross for his sins, and that person could bow his head, accepted Jesus Christ as a Savior, and that person today could be in heaven because of salvation God offered him. God is willing to save anyone. His salvation is available to all. Aren't you glad for that? Why do I serve God? Because he saved me. His salvation is available to all. I don't serve God in order to get something from him. I serve God because of what he has already done for me. That God has made salvation available for all. We see a second thing here. Not only is salvation available for all, but here's something good. Acceptance is available to all. Acceptance is available to all. In this passage, God refers to two specific groups of people as an example that he is still willing to accept them regardless of their circumstances. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse number 3. Neither let the son of the stranger that joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, "The Lord hath utterly separated me from his people." Neither let the eunuch say, "Behold, I am a dry tree." Now, we'll read the rest of the passage in a second, but here are the two groups of people. The first group is the stranger. The idea of a stranger here in the context is someone who is not a Hebrew person by birth or nationality, but has accepted God anyways. And there are many people who did that. Someone who would be a Gentile. We could see a person by the name of Rahab the harlot. She was a Gentile who God ended up putting in part of his genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when did Rahab join them? Rahab joined them when they were still at the very tail end of the wilderness wanderings, going into the promised land. They still had the tabernacle. They didn't have a kingdom set up. They're going to go in Joshua's day and start conquering the land. She joined them that time. She was considered a stranger, someone who was not Hebrew by nationality, not Hebrew by birth. She was an outsider who accepted God's promises and became part of the camp. However, because she was a stranger, there were certain things she was not qualified to do. She was not qualified to go into the court of the tabernacle to offer a sacrifice. She was not allowed to participate in several feasts. She was not allowed to participate in other rituals that the Hebrew people set up. So someone like that, could you see why they could say, "Well, they don't accept me? Why even try? Because I'm not qualified to do this. And I'm not able to do this. And because of my life, because of the things that happen, I can't do this. So I guess I shouldn't try." But that's not a good excuse. Because even though you may not be qualified to do this or may not be able to do this, there are plenty of other things that God wants you to do and that God can set you to do. And by the way, for Rahab specifically, didn't God use her in a major way? Her name's in Scripture in the New Testament as part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. If God didn't accept her, why would he allow her part of the genealogy? Even though she was not qualified to be this and could not do this and couldn't participate in this ritual, God still accepted her. Now, why would God keep them away from doing those rituals? Because God is protecting the purity of the tabernacle, which was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there were certain things he had to do as that picture book, but that didn't mean that God didn't accept the other people. He had plans for them as well. We'll talk more about the stranger in a second, but there was a second person here, and this is a eunuch. A eunuch. Neither let the eunuch say, "Behold, I am a dry tree." A eunuch is someone who, because of either on purpose or circumstances, is a person not able to have children. Sometimes it was done willingly. Sometimes it was done by force. Sometimes there were circumstances. There are plenty of people who say, "I had circumstances fall upon me, and because of that, I don't feel like I could do something for the Lord. There were circumstances that happened in my life beyond my control, and now, because of those circumstances, I'm not able to participate in this. I'm not able to take care of this. I'm not able to be a part of this." And they look at their lives and say, I can't do those things, so why try to do something for the Lord? The reason is that even though you may be disqualified in some areas of your life, God still has a plan and still wants to use you where you are. That God can still use you. Now, this will go into a broader idea that God accepts everyone. There may be some things that you may not be qualified to do. There may be some things that you are disqualified to do. There may be some things that you're not allowed to take care of. However, there are still plenty of other options that God can use you at. That God has acceptance for all. Notice, if you don't mind, as we go on in verse number 4. "For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me and take a hold of my covenant." So God says, listen, I have a message for those eunuchs, people who feel like I can't be used of God. Now, many of the eunuchs there feel like they can't be used of God because they're not able to produce children. Because I can't have a child because of my circumstances. I can't produce a child, so I must be less than useless. People don't accept me. Back then in the ancient world especially, that if you weren't able to produce a child, there had to be something wrong with you, and they usually say it's because you're wrong with God. We look at example of a Hannah in the Bible. She couldn't produce a child. Did God end up blessing her? Absolutely, in a special way. But she was harassed by another lady over and over and over. We look at a Sarah. Did Sarah, Abraham's wife, did she have problems producing children?
Yes.
And did Hagar give her a hard time about it?
Yes.
Absolutely. That was something, especially in the ancient world. Because I can't produce a child, by the way, maybe a lady was barren. The idea of a eunuch also carries the idea of a man who is physically unable to produce a child too for some reason. So both of them are saying, I can't produce children. I can't go on. Why should God use me? I can't even do what I'm biologically set to do. I'm a failure in my biological life. My life has failed. My physical health has failed me. I can't do anything. Why even try if I can't do anything that I think I should do physically? Notice what God says again in verse number 4. "For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths, that choose the things that please me and take a hold of my covenant." God says, listen, you may have a reason why you feel like you can't serve me. However, I have a promise for all of you who choose to serve me anyways. That choose to keep my Sabbaths. It carries the idea that you're doing your best to honor the Lord with your time, setting those things aside to spend time with the Lord. That those that choose the Lord, the things that please him. That's a pretty big deal, to please God. How do we please God, by the way? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. So what pleases God? Faith. Trusting God at his word, trusting that God can be God. I'm living by faith. I'm having victory because of faith. I'm living. Lord, I'm not much, but whatever I am, please use me. And for the eunuchs that take a hold of my covenant, that carries the idea that they love God's word. You know, that's simple things that anyone can do. No matter what your physical health is, can you honor the Lord with your time? No matter what your physical health is, can you honor the Lord by faith? And no matter what your physical health is, can you also honor the Lord by loving his word? Yes. God says, you may feel like because of your physical ability, you can't do this. Because of your physical ability, you can't do this. Because of the circumstances in your life, you can't do this. But listen, you set aside your time. You try to live by faith and be pleasing to me. And you love my word. Notice what he says. Verse number 5. Even unto them will I give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than of the sons and daughters. God says, I could give you something still better than kids. Remember, the idea of the eunuch here is that they want to have children, but they can't. They're physically unable because of circumstances or other things beyond their control. I can't have kids. God says, listen, you obey me, love me, and I can honor you more than having a child. That's pretty precious. Notice he goes on. He says, I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. He says, I'll give you my name. I'm going to put my favor upon you. I could use you in ways that you couldn't even imagine just by putting yourself at my disposal. I'll give you an everlasting name that won't be cut off. I've got rewards planned for you that you couldn't even imagine if you're willing just to use what life and health and strength you have to spend time with me, to please me by faith, and to love my word. I can use you in ways you couldn't even imagine. I have rewards for you that will be better off that when you said, listen, my circumstances, I thought it was all over with, but I gave myself to the Lord, and now that I got the rewards, wow, God knew what he was doing. I trust God. It's amazing what God can do. Your greatest ability is your availability. Amen. And there are so many people that say, because of my physical health, I can't do anything for the Lord. Well, the Bible says that you're accepted. God can still use you where you're at. And he has acceptance for all. Notice as he goes on. Verse number 6. He says, and also the son of the stranger that joined themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbaths from polluting it and taking a hold of my covenant. Here he says, he goes back to the stranger. Remember, the stranger is a non-Jewish person, a non-Hebrew person, either by blood or nationality, that is chosen to follow the Lord. Now, back then, that was a big deal because there were things they could not participate in. There were some rituals and some feasts they couldn't go on. But may I remind you that serving the Lord is beyond rituals and feasts? That God has something more than that? Notice he says, to the sons of the stranger that joined themselves to the Lord to be his servants. These people said, listen, I may not be able to work in the tabernacle. I may not be able to participate in the feast. And yet, I could still make myself a servant of God to use where I'm at. Do you know that God is able to use people exactly where they're at? Over and over, I'll have someone, let's give it a circumstance. A divorced couple. They're divorced. Maybe they remarried. Maybe there were circumstances that came up. And because of that, he is disqualified from being a pastor, and he's disqualified from being a deacon. The Bible is clear. We can't compromise. It's what the Bible said. So some people say, well, since I'm disqualified from that, I might as well not even try. No, you're not useless. God has a plan for you. you know, someone who has messed up in their life and has restored or has a marriage that's worth following now, they could be an example and say, listen, let me tell you how to do things right. They can become great soul winners. They could say, I'm going to make myself a servant, and I may not be able to do all of those things that I could have done if I wasn't disqualified, but I can make myself a servant. I can still obey. God wants to use you. There is nobody who has sinned so horribly that God still couldn't use you. I knew a man who, during the civil rights time, he was part of a biker gang and had done every crime you could ever commit. He had a preacher come up to him in the civil rights movement and tried to give him the gospel. And he said, listen, if you ever talk like this again, I will kill you. And he meant it. Imagine. He lived his life rough, messed everything up. And then you know what? 20 years later, another preacher opened up the Bible. He got saved. And he looked back and he said, I've been a biker. I've committed murder. I've committed all these things. I've threatened to kill preachers who would give me the thing. How can God use me now? I've messed up my life. I've messed up my body. I'm single. I'm all by myself. Well, you know what God did with him? God used him in a special way where he had the ability to memorize and quote scripture. And he could get up on a moment's notice and stand up and quote the entire book of Revelation from beginning to end. He could get up and quote entire books of the Bible. And that was an encouragement to a lot of folks because people always say, well, I can't read my Bible. I can't memorize scripture. To hear someone do it and to be able to stand in one sitting and quote all of Revelation in about 10 minutes time. I can't read my Bible in 10 minutes. Here's a guy who quoted it in 10 minutes. I can't, you know, gets rid of excuses. It humbles them down. It lets people go, well, I could get in my Bible. I could do. Isn't that encouraging? You may mess up your life so badly, but there's no one who's messed up their life so horribly that you can't be used for something. To hear the testimonies of what people have done and how God changed them about. It's amazing. You take a Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday, a professional baseball player, but a drunkard. God saved him and he became a great evangelist. There's so many stories and accounts of what God can do. They may not be qualified to do this and they may not have the purity to be able to do this. But God can still use you from where you're at. Well, I've used up all my physical health. I don't have much left. Use what you have and use it for the Lord. That God has an acceptance of anyone. One of my favorite verses for people is in Ephesians chapter 1, that you are accepted in the beloved. Once you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are accepted. What does that mean? That means that God just doesn't love you. He likes you. He likes you. You say, well, I don't even like myself. I know. God's able to do things that you can't do. You are accepted. Isn't that encouraging? And so here are two groups of people that feel like they're outcast, that feel like they're not accepted. They can't participate in this situation. They cannot participate in this ritual. They cannot participate in this feast. So they're like, why try serving God? God says, no, no, no. You serve me with what you can. You serve me with the ability that you have available. And I will reward you in ways you couldn't even imagine. Just put yourself at my disposal. Fall in love with me. Spend some time with me. And watch God work. If you don't mind, one more thing I want to show you here is that prayer is available to all men. Salvation is available to all. Acceptance is available to all. And prayer is available to all men. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 7. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Who's this them? Those strangers, those outcasts, those eunuchs who follow the Lord. He says, I'm going to make them joyful in my house of prayer. Why? Because we can all pray. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted in my altar. Now, what he's doing now is he's taking them fast forwarding to what we call the millennial kingdom. And in the millennial kingdom, they will be able to participate in the ceremonies. They will be able to participate in the rituals. They will be able to participate in what God is doing in the world at that time. He says, their sacrifices shall be accepted at my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. Now, God has already made it today, present tense, where it's accepted all people. We see, and we're not going to turn there, in the book of 1 Chronicles, as Solomon is praying and talking to God, that we understand how God has designed his house to work. That God has always designed his house to be a house of prayer. He's designed it so his house is a place where people can get a hold of a real God and get their answers to prayer. In the Hebrew system, the way that it was supposed to work is that the Hebrew people were all, every single one of them, were supposed to be priests of God. People who knew how to get a hold of God. And the way that it was supposed to work is that the Gentiles would say, wow, their God is real. They would go up to a Hebrew person who's supposed to be a priest, everyone. Which, by the way, this is... And as they went to that Hebrew person, they would say, can you please talk to your God for me on this prayer request? The Hebrew person would take that prayer request up to God and say, God, they want you to do this. And God says, got it done. For the purpose that these people would see for themselves that God is real by him answering prayers. And when they realize that God is real, then those people can go and talk to them and say, do you want to know this real God for yourself? Amen. He's made it to be a house of prayer for all people. By the way, we still could follow that same pattern. This is why we go love, ask for prayer requests. Because as we get prayer requests, and as we who are the priesthood of the believers, what does that mean? That means that every single person has equal access to God. That even though I'm a preacher, I don't have more access to God than you do. Some people often imagine that in my office, there's a secret red phone underneath a piece of glass that I pick up and that I can talk to God anytime, or I get a special calling card that when I become a preacher, that 1-800, please pray. But you have as much access to God as I do. It is a doctrine we call the priesthood of the believers, that every one of us have access to God. Every single one of us can pray and talk to God. Every single one of us can bring others' prayer requests to God. And so when you're at work, some people can come to you and say, can you pray for this? I'll be glad to pray for this, and you bring it up to God with the idea that God will hear and answer their prayer. And when they see that this God really answers prayer, we can go to them and say, God, I want you to meet him. I want you to know him personally and bring them in because of who God is. God has made it to be a house of God for all people. Everyone can have their prayers answered. Aren't you glad that God doesn't say, well, no, you got to be a certain group in order for me to hear your prayers?
Amen.
Do you know that if someone who's in Russia, who's messed up their life, and they hear the gospel, and they say, Lord, will you save me? God will hear their prayer.
Yes,
everyone. You don't have to go through a church or through a person. You can talk to God for yourself. And he listens and hears prayers. Anyone who cries out for God, God will hear. He has made it to be a house of prayer for all people. That's encouraging. That means you can pray. And you could grab prayer requests of other people and expect God to work within that prayer. Notice in verse 8. The Lord God which gathereth the outcast of Israel saith, yet will I gather others to him beside those that are gathered unto him. Notice the word outcast in verse 8. I'm sure there's been many times in your life where you said, that fits me. I'm an outcast. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. Think I'll eat some worms. Woo-hoo. My family doesn't like me. I messed up so bad, I don't even feel like I could be part of a church. I've ruined things in my life. I've ruined relationships. I've messed things up. That word outcast is me. But yet God says, I'll accept the outcast. You know, that's sometimes why a Baptist church sometimes have the craziest people in it. Because God accepts all the outcast. When the other Christian religions don't like to freeze out the outcast, we'll accept anyone because God does. It's amazing to see people over the years. Brother Summerdorf tells of a man who I believe he had Down syndrome. And he'd always take his tongue and roll it around his lips. But they said, you know, anyone could be used of God. So they taught him how to be the usher. And so he would take the offering plate and he wouldn't walk down the aisle like some of our men do. He would go in front of each and every person and not move until they put money in there. I mean, he's the best thing the church can. And go to the next person. Offering sometimes take a while, but he wouldn't move until they put something in the plate. Praise the Lord. He got to do something. God use them. Curtis Hudson tells of a story of a man who drove a taxi cab. And on Sunday mornings, he would go with his taxi cab out and he'd tell people, I'll give you a free ride to wherever destination is, but you got to come to me with church first. They said, well, I don't want to do that. Well, then this isn't for you. This is Jesus' taxi this morning. And he'd always come. Sometimes it was late, but he'd always come bringing some with him. And he wouldn't sit him in the back. He'd always come up front. And as he's walking, even the preacher's preaching his message. Praise the Lord. Amen. Wonderful. We had a family once, different place, that they had weighed 350, 500, 700 pounds. And they said that every church they went to, they were frozen out. Nobody wanted to be with them. But they felt loved. We worked with them and loved on them and helped them out. But, you know, they said no one else would accept us. Well, we're trying to follow the pattern of God because he will accept anyone.
Amen.
He'll accept the outcast. And you may say, well, that fits me. I messed up my life. I'm no longer the ideal looking what a cookie cutter Christian should be. Nobody is. None of us fit the mold. That's why we're all here together, by the way. None of us have the perfect body and the perfect smile and the square jaw and the teeth that sparkle when you smile. None of us have all of the perfect attributes, the perfect singing voice. Praise the Lord that God accepts you even with your voice. Praise the Lord that God accepts us with what intellect we may have or may not have. No matter what we've done in our life to mess everything up, we may be considered the outcast, but God accepts you and he wants you to be a part of you and he has a place for you. Every single person has a place inside of a local church to serve. You may not be qualified to be a pastor. You may not be qualified to be a deacon. You might even not feel qualified to be a Sunday school teacher, but God has a place for you. Isn't that wonderful? That he's made salvation available to all. He has acceptance available to all. And that he has made prayer available to all. That he's made it to be a house of God for all people. You say, what do I do with this? Well, as a reminder, you need to make yourself available. Lord, you know my life. You know how bad I messed it up. You know I don't have health left. You know I don't have this left. You know I've lost my testimony on this. But Lord, if you can use me, would you use me? What does that mean? Well, remember what he said. Give your time to the Lord. Live by faith. Love God's word. That's simple. Every one of us can do that. And he can use you in ways you couldn't even imagine. You have a part to play. You have a place in what God is doing. He has made this a house of prayer for all people. And he's accepted the outcast, even you, that you have a part to play. you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.